if you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Oh, I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of Auschwitz and trains and ovens hot.
Really? I'm guessing you don't have much experience with camps.
No, but sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it would be like when the Gestapo comes. Oy vey. Measles buzz, kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing what a Jew does in Auschwitz. A drink in my hand, my tuchus against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in Auschwitz. I'll finally meet the work camp guards, oh they're all such pleasant guys. They wake me each morning before the sun's up, our bite macht frei. And I can't wait to see how my work makes me free. Just imagine the smell of Zyklon B in Auschwitz. Oi, 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 vey. Oi, vey, oi, give halt, oi, vey. I love the amenities, just you watch. Their lampshades and soap are just top notch. Oi, vey, oi, give halt, oi, vey, oi, give halt, oi, vey. Germans and Jews, it's a conflict of classes. Put us together and I'll be a happy merchant. When life gets rough, I like to hold on to my dream of relaxing in the shower rooms, just letting off steam. Oh, the sky would be blue, and you guys will be there too, when I finally do what Jewish things do in Auschwitz.
I'm gonna tell him.
Don't you dare.
Commence the fat shaming. We're back for yet another edition of The Daily Show, brought to you by therightstuff.biz.
This is The Daily Show.
We're bigger, harder, faster, stronger, something. I was told I'm not enough of a hipster to know what that means. Anyway, I'm the Seventh Son. I'm joined by the Death Panel. They all have fresh, sexy new voices. I don't know if you all want to hear it, so maybe we'll go around the horn real quick. I got Mike Enoch.
Check, check.
Wow. Did you hear that, everybody? Everybody?
I came.
Hoping that was and that there's Bulbasaur.
Yeah. Hi. Howdy.
And our good friend Ghoul.
Hello.
He sounds good, too. Do you like that, everybody? That's money well spent. That's why you got to send in your donations.
Goddamn.
So we can reinvest in ourselves, which is really us investing in you, who then invest in us, and then never.
You're pretty good at that merchant rhetoric.
I think it's because I'm English. Didn't they say, the English are kind of like the Europe's.
The Anglos
Jews
are the most Jewish of the Europeans. That's why they rule the world.
That's right. So we've got a very special show today. We're going to be joined by the mastermind behind the Merchant Minute, Morakiyu. He is here. He's going to give us a little interview and tell us about his inspirations and where he's come from and where he's going and all that good shit and all the other goofy crap we do every week too. So I guess we should start off. Do we have more donations and feedback to talk about?
Yeah, we had a few donations. We have one $10 donation from Albert Roca. So thanks, Albert.
$4.88 short. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, and of course, the Jew took his 79 cents out of it. But, that's just
how
that, in order to make transactions with money, you have to give the Jew his pound of flesh.
That's right.
A fact of life these days.
It's only 3%. It's not a pound.
Right. It's 20. It's 2.9% plus 30 cents. So that would actually be
the 30
cents. Anyway, doesn't matter. I did get somebody wrote in concern about my dead computer. Matthew wrote me a little note. Sorry about the dead computer. I hope you got the 0.1 Bitcoin that I sent. And that's still languishing on that hard drive, which I need to access, and then I can get that because that's the computer that has that receiving address. I can get on that computer if I get a... That doesn't really fucking matter. I can get on that computer. So, yeah. 1.1 Bitcoin is not a trivial amount, though. I mean, when Bitcoin was at its top peak value, that would have been like $150. But I don't think it's at that value anymore. So that's probably about $35. But, it's still
Hey, it's something. $35.
So I mean, you
can still buy weed with it. So
right, I have about 0.15 Bitcoin, probably about $50.
You could still definitely buy map accessories.
So I could definitely get an eighth on Silk Road or whatever the equivalent of it is. What that I don't know anything about, you know, because I don't know anything about those kind of things. At all.
I have no idea about them. I heard that if somebody, if you send somebody a lot of money and they will mail you a bunch of weed, then you can steal it from the post office and get and get some kind of refund more than, I don't
Jesus
know.
Jesus Christ.
I think that's how you buy drugs
now. Do we
even
want to talk about that?
We'll just leave it there. That's just all. Everybody gets
it. I kind of want to tell the story.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we have this friend. Well, he's not a friend.
No, he's a
total
dick.
Tool, but he...
Let's call him Rape Tits. His name is Rape Tits.
Yeah, no? Rape Tits. So Rape Tits got involved in some kind of, I don't know what scheme, where he sent somebody $300, then they sent him back $400, or they were supposed to send him back $400.
No, that was when hemp oil. No, they were supposed to send him hemp oil, but
right,
somehow somebody got tipped off that the cops knew that the hemp oil was in the package.
All right. So the guy gets supposedly. I mean, this all could be, in my opinion, lying to him.
We're not high enough to understand.
He gets. He's supposed to get the hemp oil in the mail, and then the guy got like a pink slip from the post office, like you have to come pick the package up at the post office instead of us delivering it to you. So he's of course a paranoid pothead. He freaks out, and then supposedly paid a couple of urban individuals $500 to break into the post office to steal his package. They successfully apparently break into the post office, steal the package, and then the package was still delivered the next day, which is makes him think that the police were trying to set him up for receiving the package, even though he'd already stolen it with the help of these vibrant youth. All of it seemed very shady, and I don't think that Rape Tits actually ever.
It's impossible to even understand, because if you read it in his own words, it's.
Because he was probably high as fuck.
He was writing
all of it, so none of the events actually make sense in sequence. Anyway, that was a huge digression.
I'm sorry.
Pretty funny. It's a funny story.
Ridiculous.
Stupid, bougie, white kid shit.
Right.
Silk Road. I'm pretty sure he didn't send them $300. It was $300 worth of Bitcoin is how the transaction began.
That's even more fucking fedoras. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's
that's
that.
Even more freedom.
So what else we got in the feedback pile?
Vincent, hi there. I started a blog recently because I go to an Ivy League university. I needed a place to vent. To be honest, it was sites like yours that inspired me, so maybe you would be willing to read and critique some of my work. I hope to create something along the lines of what you guys have, except oriented around a younger crowd maybe. Tell me what you think. Hope to hear from you guys. All right, I will have to check it out. Okay.
One thing I want to mention.
It's like a Greek statue's ass. Okay. Sorry.
If you send us a contact in the contact and you want to get in touch with us, make sure that you use the email address. It's not just a sock email address, because the only way I can get back to you is through that email address. So actually, don't just put like nigger@nigger.com, which some people have done in the past.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, it's funny, but it's I can't actually then do. I mean, what can
actually,
I do?
I think I blacklisted that one the other day.
Yeah, that one's that's
get blacklisted.
This comes from some guy that he asks me not to mention his name. Hey guys, love the site. I want to recommend a book, especially to Bulbasaur. Mind, Matter, and Nature, A Thomistic Proposal for the Philosophy of Mind by James Madden. That name rings a bell. It's a great summary of the various schools of thought in philosophical psychology. I find in it strong support for the existence of the immaterial. It has strengthened my Catholic faith, but it should also offer support to anyone, religious or not, who believes in transcendent truths. Keep up the good work. So, all right, I will put in the order. I mean, I mentioned it, I think, a couple podcasts ago, is that I found the Summa for $30 in a hipster bookstore. And obviously, because they're secular pieces of shit, they didn't understand that Summa is like $300. So, yay for me.
Bingo.
And there is one more, if we have time.
We got time. Go for it.
Yeah,
we got nothing but time for you, the listener, here on the Lynn, Daily Show. Lynn?
Yeah. Well, actually, we have two more. So this next one's Lynn. She's the penultimate one. Let's see, TRS team, my name is Lind Blythe, and I was curious about the process I would need to go through to submit an article to your site. I'm fairly knowledgeable on the subject of Islam, particularly Sunni Islam, but also is whatever, Shia and Sufi. I'm an autodidact on the subject, but from what I've read of Bulbasaur's posts on the subject, I feel like I'm more qualified to write on it than him. No
Ooh.
Offense. As I've actually read the Quran, 6 translations of it, and the Hadith of Bukhari. I may be qualified to write about other subjects, but I feel like this is probably the most relevant. Well, we actually have we have Clay. He's kind of hard to nail down. We really need to get him on the podcast at some point and just trigger the shit out of him.
He's a little bit high time preference, though, so he's tough, too.
Lind, what you could do is, I guess, do what you were doing right here. Just the contact, the feedback, you know, however you sent this message to us, just send what you're wanting, kind of like a outline through here. Don't we have an email now, Mike?
Yeah, I have an email. I can email you, and however you're, whatever level of contact you're comfortable with, we can do. I email Toilet Law, and now we're friends on Facebook, and he's participating in our Facebook group. So, you know, Lynn Blythe has been a great commenter for the last several months on the site. Really a lot of good content in the comments. So, yeah, if you want, you know, I could reach out and we could add you to the inner circle.
Yes. All right, one, Shekelstein. Please discuss Google and Amazon's diversity policies and Arini's shitty documentary on the next Daily Show Up, please.
We discussed the Arini shit.
No, yeah. I guess, we discussed his little...
His little movie.
His bullshit. But I mean, he's been making numerous ones.
Yeah.
I haven't seen or anything, but I'm pretty sure he actually made a video about Anita Sarkeesian.
Ugh.
And if I'm not mistaken, he got Thunderfoot on it.
Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah, which is hilarious.
That's funny. That's funny in a lot of ways. I knew that he was making... I mean, I had seen the ads for the that he had done with his friend about that Sarkeesian documentary, which, in my opinion, is, I mean, giving her way too much...
Yeah,
God, it's giving her way too much fucking validation. I mean, first of all, it's like, okay, you're giving her the attention she wants, and you're giving her the attention she wants with exactly... the persona. It's like...
Yes.
Oh, God.
They've been doing exactly that with his shit. Exactly. As you think it would be. By the way, if anyone wants to see that, I believe it's called The Sarkeesian Effect.
God.
I mean, yeah, like...
It's like, why... And this goes to a whole... Like, that entire sphere, which is kind of like a fringe of the manosphere, I guess. I mean, like him, Captain Capitalism, you have a Forney... there's a couple of other cocksuckers, but they are as bad, if not worse, than feminism. Because I would say they're worse because, you know, being males, they should have agency and they should be able to exercise it.
They should know better than to be engaged in this kind of fucking tomfoolery.
It's been pretty funny watching people respond to it because you'll have SJWs basically bring his name up, and then when they show a clip of him, they have him sitting there with his jacket and stuff saying, "Modern women are the most decadent sluts."
God. I mean, everything about Arini really needs the fucking oven, and like his friend was like fat friend who talked about, is there like a, I saw some critique of this, but of course the guy doing the critique was himself complete shithead, but he was putting up clips of the movie that just, oh God. And then like apparently the fat guy who's like Arini's conspirator on this film was like talking about his favorite stripper at his favorite strip club. Like, yeah, really? I mean, really? This is... It's like the fact that they can't see that they are a fucking joke and that kind of behavior is like feeding this circle of like just shit-tier, immature crap politics. I mean, yeah. Nita Sarkeesian does not deserve the level of attention she gets. I mean,
Arini is just the same thing. He's it also kind of feeds into the fact that, you know, it's kind of been confirmed that he's a homosexual. I mean, it's the same sort of template. He has the same personality as a feminist.
Mm-hmm. With the attention that basically shit tier men have been giving Anita, it's given her an opportunity to appear on the Colbert Report.
Oh,
recently,
God.
And what's really funny about that was not that long ago, and during the hashtag cancel Colbert shit with an angry Asian chick that was
Sui Ping Pong Parks.
Anita was all over like promoting her everywhere, saying like Colbert's racist trash and all this, and then the moment that Colbert's like, hey, want to come on my show, then she's a giddy schoolgirl and is all in a show.
of course yeah, I mean, it's what's funny to me, I guess the one comment about the Sarkeesian types I'll make is that she makes this big deal out of she's challenging the patriarchy so much, and then I saw some article, I don't know, it was by her, it was by someone in her camp, about this whole thing of her getting death threats and all this stuff, and how then it said something like, gaming is the last bastion of white male privilege, which is why they lash out so hard when females intrude on the space. No one to be just like, no, this is a bunch of basically omegas, like, that are children and of course lash out like children. I mean, what do you, it's the last bastion of white male privilege? Like, no, really, honestly, it's not. Like, maybe Silicon Valley, or I don't know, everything else that white men run,
you know,
which women have zero capability of intruding in on, except in the manner of rent seeking. I mean, okay, so what is Sarkeesian's end game? Video games? Go for it. I mean, like,
take it.
It's so,
it's yours.
And she thinks that like this makes her important. I can provoke a bunch of neckbeard trolls on the internet, therefore I'm important. And Irini basically puts himself squarely in that camp by even playing this game. And Thunderfoot is just a fucking...
He's just garbage.
He's just fucking garbage. Yeah, he's just a complete piece of shit. I mean, okay. Like, I mean, the guy's channel is devoted to anti-Anita Sarkeesian and, like, anti... Just, like, the most, like, low-hanging fruit atheist dumb shit. Like, who cares? Okay, you're a scientist. I mean, you should... I don't know. The funny thing, actually, the first time I saw Thunderfoot, I thought it was a guy I went to high school with. He looks exactly like. And I heard a stupid voice, and I was like, no, it's not the same.
Anyway, you guys...
Fucking YouTube personalities.
Yeah, right.
It's funny that Thunderfoot would be on something with Irini, given his, like, thing with...
Thunderfoot, I don't understand Thunderfoot, because he has an educational background that he could apply... in a very intelligent way, but for some reason he applies it in the fucking stupidest way imaginable.
I think he is professionally like a nuclear scientist.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, he's contributing in that way, but yeah, his intellectual contributions are pretty shit tier. Like,
yeah.
Are we ready? Are you ready?
Oh man, my body is so ready right now.
Okay, so without further ado, speaking of repugnant... YouTube personalities. I'm only joking. No, we've got a good YouTube personality with us today, and he's going to take us inside the anti-Semite studio.
Oh my god.
So as you
Heil Hitler, everybody.
So as you all know, I'm sure you're all very well enamored with a little segment called The Merchant Minute. And we have its humble creator with us, YouTube's own Merakiu. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing so well right now. I just want to kill some Jews.
I think I can fap to that. So tell us, what got you started? When did you first know...
That I hated the Jew.
That, yes. And that they controlled everything we did no matter what, so it didn't matter anyway.
That was right after I was born, when they cut off my Aryan dick skin in a vain attempt to stop me from giving women multiple orgasms and make me as weak as an asthmatic Hebe As I was writhing in pain, one thought crystallized like an icy blast. I bet the Jews did this. Someday I'll have them gassed. After that, it was a matter of finding an ideology that wasn't under kike control. And let me tell you, that's like looking for a wedding ring in a septic tank.
So what keeps you going?
Well, it's revenge for the loss of my dick skin and the dick skins of 6 trillion other goyim. A show of dick skins, except it actually happened, and instead of making the ashes into soap, they made them into expensive facial cream that Oprah uses.
I thought they sacrificed it every year. They made like a yearly tribute to Yahweh.
I don't know, maybe they weave them into some fucking yarmulke or something.
Well, I think the idea is actually that the Yahweh is really, if you guys don't know this, maybe I'm derailing this bit, but you know, you guys know that Yahweh is really an ancient Semitic volcano demon.
Yes.
Who feeds on the foreskins of the goyim.
No, shut it down, shut it down.
Oh, no, who's
what,
that?
What the hell? I hear a hook nose.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we've attracted Shlomo Goldstein Bergblatt again. He's back.
That's right, I'm back.
Didn't you? I'm sorry, I thought that you were dead.
Well, you see, they actually have given me another chance because they heard that Morikau or whatever the hell his name is.
He's on to you, Shlomo.
I heard that he was going to be on the show today, and they were like, okay, we need someone to get in there and shut it down. And they're like, okay, you know what? We need someone who needs a little bit of retribution. So they pulled me out of the gulag.
Someone who's had a little rapport with us in the past that we could talk to us.
And they sent me in to find you guys. I actually came in through the vent. So it was my Mossad training.
He came in through a series of tubes. He hacked our Skype with his evil Skype program.
So what's your beef? That's right. What's your objection here?
This man, this Morikau, he's racist. He is anti-Semitic.
Guilty as charged.
And I'm calling the ACLU. I'm calling them right now, and you're getting shut down. You're getting hauled off to the FEMA camps immediately. What do you have to say for yourself? That's what I thought. That's
what
I thought.
Shut down.
Has he been shut down?
Shut it down, and this is why they call me the master.
Have we lost Morikau? Morikau, say something.
I've weathered a storm of thousands of Jews before when they tried to shut it down, and you will not shut me down. 1940... something or other will commence again.
You think you're not the first goyim I've heard say that? You'll get shut down.
They all get shut down.
You all get shut down at the end of the day. All you goyim are the same. I don't care how many storms you think you've weathered. You're getting shut down, Morikau.
Guys, I need everybody to donate shekels to me right now. Because 15,000 shekels a month on Patreon. Maybe I can keep this from being shut down.
You will never be able to stop.
Make a documentary called The Slow Mo Effect.
God.
And you honestly think that Hollywood is going to let you get away with that?
Wait a second.
You honestly think that?
Hold on.
Wait. Arini did that?
The $15,000 a month thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like raking in a shitload of money rent seeking with this shit.
What?
Are you kidding me?
He's a very good goy.
Jesus. Oh.
He's a very good goy, as you guys have almost certainly figured out.
So wait, you're behind Arini?
Of course.
He's his coach.
Some guy's behind Arini.
Of course I'm behind Arini.
He's behind the camera wearing a referee outfit.
In fact, I'm behind most things on the internet. The only one that I'm not behind has been this Morikau fella.
Well, maybe you can be behind me. Just donated a lot of money to me. I could be fucking co-opted. I just need, you know, the right motivation. But no Jew will make me a good offer.
This is why the white race...
So what you're saying is that you're open to negotiation.
This is why it's hopeless.
This is why we can't have nice things in America.
You can't give in to him, Morikau. You can't.
What do you say we give you a little piece of the Gaza Strip?
You're... Don't believe him. Don't believe him.
Oh, no, this is the good kind.
The good kind.
Trust me, we've been fighting over this place for years. You think we don't understand that it has value?
Is there, like, oil on it or something?
Yeah.
He's lying.
There's oil and there's
it, like, is the only oil from like greasy Arab skin or something? Because that doesn't.
No,
count.
No, no. Yeah, don't worry about that. We're getting rid of those. The bulldozers are gonna, you know, they're gonna be there. I'm not sure when we got the next bulldozer order. I'm gonna have to check my, the backlog.
I have a hard time believing that a bunch of Jews are gonna grab some bulldozers and do some manual labor.
Yeah, they probably get. They probably actually hire Arabs to do that to their own people, like how we hire Mexicans to build the fence.
if you don't gotta lift a finger, why lift a finger? You know, that's how we did 9/11.
Oh Jesus!
Oh, no.
I forgot about that. I thought Pinochet did 9/11.
Oh goodness, no! But we did give him all of his economic ideas.
That is true.
Did you give him all his helicopter ideas, too?
Oh, wait, didn't you give Allende all his economic ideas as well?
Yeah, that's right.
they're have diversifying. Have you ever heard of
diversifying your investments?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to play both sides of the field.
Okay.
Which is why, Mr. Maracchio, I'm willing to open negotiations.
No, Maracchio is ours. He's going to be on the show again next week. He already recorded a Merch Minute this week, so I've got it right here.
Wait, you guys really don't know?
Oh, Jesus. I guess
you guys really don't know who owns the servers.
Well,
GoDaddy, one and one.
And do you know who owns them?
Oh God,
Mark Cuban.
Let me tell you one thing, gentlemen.
I was so sure that GoDaddy was short for Goyim Daddy. I guess. Once again, I'm disappointed.
I can shut down this operation whenever I feel like it. But believe it or not, I actually like some of you Goyim. A little bit.
Oh, we like you too, Shlomo.
But don't let it get to your heads. Especially not Maracchio over here. Maracchio?
So I guess that's like, what, 30 minutes of ritualistic purification before you can go into the temple for each Goyim you like?
Is he going to turn over your tables and your shekels or something?
Yeah, we like plenty of Goyim, especially good Goyim. You guys are very good Goyim.
Shabbos Goyim.
How's that?
This is true.
I'm not a good Goyim.
How many foreskins would Maracchio have to bring to you to avoid getting shut down? Because
he's not to avoid getting shut down. It all gets shut down eventually. You got to understand this.
But I do know that when David wanted to marry Saul's daughter, he had to bring him 200 foreskins of the Goyim as a ritualistic gift in order to earn her hand in marriage. So I'm just wondering, is 200 a standard amount, or has that price inflated?
No. You see, back then, inflation's gone up so much now that we have this system that harvests them from the Goyim at birth.
Doesn't that mean you can just...
Similar to the one that was ran, that Maracchio was ran through when he was a young child.
Yeah, I guess the marginal...
I will never forgive you.
At this point...
The marginal value of the foreskin's gone way down.
Bingo. You know, it's basic economics, you know. And that's the reason why the number of foreskins he would have to give me is so massive. There's no possible way he could actually perform that transaction.
They have more than enough foreskins now. They sleep on them at night, made out of their bed sheets.
Can I get like
pillowcases?
Some lampshades.
Can I get the blood of some goy children or something? Like, maybe that's got a higher market value.
No, we got enough of that, too.
Maracchio,
nothing you can possibly give us because we have all of the wealth in the world.
Maracchio, there's one thing that your YouTube channel has gotten you for yourself that he can never give to you.
What's that?
Don't make me say your name.
Oh, right, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you will never take that away from me.
Yeah, that's right. You can't take that away.
Now, you don't think that we have access to those things?
Definitely don't have access to that one.
Not that one.
Oh.
You know what? I'm not even going to go down this path.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the music now.
All right.
And just don't think you will not be shutting me down.
You're going to go down that path. I'm talking shit for you, Maracchio. Come on.
You've been shut down, Shlomo. This is our podcast.
I will never
shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut this guy down before he chokes our lines of credit with the force or something.
The force.
Oh my God. Sad part is I don't know how to stop it.
Is this like Saving Private Ryan or some shit?
No, it's inside the actor studio.
Oh. They all sound the same after a while.
We're going to play some mournful Jew violin music.
Some mournful Jew violin.
Now that that's out of the way, let's move it on to the Shitlord Report.
Dice is scum. I'm Holly Himmler for TRS.biz, and it's time for the Shitlord Report. The Huffington Post reports that OutNow Consulting is working on releasing a shit pile of data called LGBT 2020, aimed at, of course, shaming businesses into accommodating faggot and dyke employees who apparently can't get any work done because they spend all day thinking about scissoring or cleaning shit out of their dick holes or whatever. Imagine the sport, dear shitlords, that of the estimated 10 million homos and weirdos in America's workforce, 40% say they've been verbally abused at least once a year. Holy shit, once a year, someone call less than half of you a faggot. An annual show-off. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
And an entire 16% claim to have been harassed at work. 16% social misfits and straight-up weirdos have encountered a normie who couldn't keep his revulsion under wraps. Homophobia has all but disappeared from the workplace, but don't let that slow down your victim complex, faggots. Keep in mind, with these horrifying numbers, that when a dyke says she's been harassed, it usually translates to, a Christian didn't throw his faith away in order to spare my feelings. Or even more often, the office gal I sexually harassed insisted I leave her alone. HuffPo lists for us the 10 worst things said to these people. Let's read a few. I can't add your wife to your health insurance because your marriage isn't real. That seems perfectly reasonable to me. Why should your employer have to pay for two AIDS cases? One is expensive enough. It's just a decision. I don't support the choice to be unnatural. Just be straight like the rest of us. Right, or at least pretend to be. That shouldn't even be necessary. You're at work, not a singles night or dating website. Sex, attraction, and sexuality has nothing to do with working. Oh, but I forgot, having a gay identity means that every aspect of your special snowflake self is wrapped up and defined by where you put your dick or what gets put into you. My mistake. That patient is gay and HIV positive. Why isn't he in some kind of isolation? Well, I suppose if we can't ask that about a nurse who's been exposed to Ebola, then keep the faggy AIDS patients away from me, ship has sailed too. Oh, what to do about all this horror? Arbeit macht frei, after all, right? In a bizarre tactic we're seeing the left use more and more these days, HuffPo writes that the study will show that companies that bother to invest resources in making workplaces more welcoming and comfortable for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender staff can realize big returns from increasing productivity to reducing exits by LGBT staff who feel uncomfortable. Hear that, breeders? If you like money, that means you need to embrace the poop dick. Why, it's good for your bottom line. Seems like queers have figured out that you can't rent seek if no one can afford to pay. Also, let's not skip over the phrase, invest resources in making workplaces more welcoming and comfortable. Yes, invest resources. First it was tolerance, then it was acceptance. Recently it has been celebrate. Now the goalposts have moved all the way to investing resources and making sure these freaks are happy. I'm not sure what they have in mind. Leaving plunger handles sticking out of men's room toilets? Office pride parade days? We at TRS thought it was bad when we noticed that these people couldn't get through the day without constant validation from the normals that surround them. But investing resources takes it to heights we couldn't even imagine satirizing. Where are the brakes on this faggotry fappening train? TRS is not fooled. Our offices will remain pride-free. Women will be objectified. Our asses boost regularly. Our inhuman resources department will continue to advise any curious or queer employees that if they know what's good for them, they'll ignore their fucked up broken reproductive systems and marry a member of the opposite sex for the purpose of breeding and keeping civilization together. We will invest our resources as fast as they come in on important things like microphones, daily show up branded oven mitts, and white sheets. For the rightstuff.biz, I'm Holly Himmler, and this has been the Shitlord Report. Stay triggered, mind folk.
Yay, that's Holly.
Okay.
Yeah, that was good.
She's the newest waifu.
Yeah, we need to
Which
invest.
Which one's your TRS waifu?
I guarantee you that's going to start.
TRS waifus?
That's going to start in the comments.
My hands are rubbing together in anticipation.
Yeah. We need to definitely invest resources in getting her some kind of mic, though.
Yeah.
If she's going to do this, I mean.
That was her first time. You know, there was a little, I could hear the nerves, so
they're
it's
always
okay.
A little nervous on the first time, but they get excited towards the end.
Hey, yo, Papa Cherry! Oh, God.
What was that?
I don't know what the fuck that was.
Goodfellas. What the fuck? It's Goodfellas.
That was too far, sir.
Well, it was too far, but, you know, aren't we edgelords? Isn't that what we do here?
That was too far. She's in college and you're married.
They don't know that.
But yeah, we
that was not me. I don't know who just whispered. Oh, you know, I was going to leave that all in. That was great.
Actually, we can leave it in. Whatever.
So speaking of shitlords and shekels, I guess we're gonna have a little chat about a certain Jewess walking around New York City for 10 hours.
Yeah, I was actually to say, I went outside because, as people know, I live in New York City, which that puts me in one of, you know, 8 million possible people. I went outside to walk around for 10 hours myself yesterday.
Oh, were you catcalled?
And I noticed that it seemed that the entire population of New York was either filming or walking behind somebody filming slowly, hands at sides, not paying any attention to anybody, refusing to look or acknowledge anybody else. And I realized that the whole city was filming response videos to that video. Trying to show that they received the same amount of harassment, or that the harassment was just a part of life or no big deal.
Remember the 6 million response videos.
It's pretty funny. Did you guys see, I guess we could talk about this. Did you see that there was one of the response videos that was like, I guess a male model did it, and like half the attention she got was also from male POC.
Oh, no.
Wait, only half?
Yeah, the other half was from female POC.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Jeez. So, I mean, he definitely did. But the most vocal ones were, of course, gay men. So it was pretty funny. I mean, I don't think it proves anything. It's just funny, just amusing.
The original purpose of the video was to address street harassment.
Right.
Okay. You know, it's just like stop bullying or whatever. You know, eventually, I don't know. Let's try to start a campaign to get our assholes to stop itching, too.
Yeah.
Nothing more insufferable than those fucking stop bullying commercials. Or you know, my wife she works in the local elementary school system, and she tells me that the worst thing that happens, and I guess this is part of the new training, this is the new American man. The majority of the complaints now are from boys. Boys will come running to her, and Miss, yeah, I'm not going to say the name, Miss Bulbasaur, I'm being bullied. I'm being bullied. They're bullying me. They need to tell, Joey's bullying me. And it's like, oh, shut the fuck up, hit him. You get right. If you punch that fucker in the nose, you get to go home.
Also, though, I know that now they punish self-defense. So even if you're being attacked, if you attack back, you're in just as much shit.
Well,
it doesn't matter. I mean, look, thanks to George Bush, you're going to get moved up a grade no matter how many times you fight. Look at the black kids. They're getting degrees everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's setting the bar low. Just punch the fucker in the face. It doesn't matter. You get passed.
The most disturbing thing to me about that is that, look, like, I was both bullied and did bullying when I was in school. Yeah. But running to a teacher, I don't know. I mean, it's like, where is there? It's even at that age, even at elementary school age, we knew snitches get stitches. You don't fucking run to a teacher. What the fuck? Like, this is what the feminizing of the school system has done. Like, this is the final result. These little bitch babies that they've turned these, and it's shameful that this is what boys are running to a teacher.
They've pretty much, well, I mean, it's what happens when you remove like male influence.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, they're not allowing little boys to be boys. Right. Any activity, even in physical activities that are seen as too physical, are basically taken away from little boys. They don't really,
they can't play dodgeball.
They're going through a period of their life where they're having hormones and testosterone pumped into their body. It's like at levels they've never seen before. It's like they need proper outlets and proper role models.
Yeah, and the fact that there's no teachers that are male. I mean, it's very rare that there's male teachers. And then increasingly and disturbingly, even in the white population now, we're getting increasing number. I mean, the white single motherhood rate is higher than the black single motherhood rate like 30 years ago. I mean, really great. Really, really great. I mean, obviously, fatherhood has completely disappeared from the black community. There's the word community, like we talked about before. But
well, look at London. Look at England, where they just unveiled that statue.
Oh, like
the new English family out in Birmingham.
God.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's
for
like
anyone, yeah, for anyone
two
who
single
doesn't
mothers and like three mud kids.
They're also sisters.
Yeah.
It's these two women with mud children with no fathers around, and an artist, or I hate even using that fucking word, someone who makes shit, spent
100,000 pounds.
Yeah, 100,000 pounds making a statue that's just it's just them together without the father there, and it's the plaque says something about how let's not limit family to, you know, the nuclear family. It goes beyond that. Like, why did you?
Yeah, let's not strive for what works. Let's
just
reinvent
it. Sort of in defense of the artist, though. Like, she was just commissioned, so it wasn't her idea. It was the city's idea, and it was their idea specifically to do. So, I mean, if I were an artist, I would refuse such a commission, but no, she didn't, whatever. And her actual talent, the sculptures in terms of the talent displayed were actually good. Like, she's a good sculptress, and she did other ones elsewhere that were also good. But you can be mad at her, but I'm more mad at the people that commissioned
her. They're
more than likely Labor Party. I mean, they're the party that supports, like, they support. They want men to be grooming children. They don't want them to be fathering children.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there's this now phenomena in England, I guess they're saying. There's, like, parts of England where, you know, children grow up there basically their entire childhood. And I'm sure there's parts of the U.S. where this is the case, too, where there's just zero men, like, literally zero men that they're exposed to. So you have single mothers, and then you have all the school teachers or women. So, like, you got a boy. I mean, no wonder you're getting, like, transgenders and homosexuals and, you know, and they're acting like little bitches. And it's like it's not surprising when you're only and not only that are you surrounded by women, you're surrounded by the most shallow, narcissistic of women. Women that can't keep men around. Women who men flee from. Women who rent seek consistently. Women who work for the government. You know, like, it's just a perfect storm of
dildos.
Of, like, yeah.
Right, because they're driving men away, then they raise the boys, you know, in an endless circle, basically, of dildo.
God, no wonder we got an epidemic of coal burners now.
Yeah, I mean, and in the statue, right, like, there's the two kids, they're sisters. At first glance, you might think they're lesbians until you found out. Yep. No, they're sisters. They each have one of their own kids, and then one of them is pregnant. So, but there's still no man around. So there was very recently a man fucking this woman, probably in the house with these other children. And he's not around. He had no interest in staying around. And what the hell kind of environment is that for these kids?
Well, what's missing is the lady's mother. There's probably another generation that actually pays all the bills. It's like they live with mom.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of it's just so muddy and just shit level peasantry. I mean, we are talking about that. But even peasants seem to have more dignity than this. I mean, it's really shameful.
I can't remember which one of you guys said it first, but somebody definitely has to, like, Bart Simpson that statue.
I wanted to go Bart Simpson on those statues and decapitate them, and it would probably be the only decapitation that the English would actually react to.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be a hate crime right there. That would be a fucking Jesus Christ. Disgusting.
Well, look, here's my prediction. My prediction, like, one thing that we like to argue about in the inner party, the inner circle, we always go back and forth on which part of Western civilization is more dildo, which one is more likely to collapse, Europe or America. And I'm very much on the side that Europa is fucked. Like, outside of perhaps France, and I think France has got a fucking, they have a long way to go.
Do you think that the backlash happening there is just like a last gasp that's going to fail?
I don't know. Because you at the same time, you're seeing the Muslim member of the National Front that came out and saying that the way France can get out of it is by everyone submitting to the cube, and that's going to be a vibrant rebirth of France. It's like, no, like, the thing is we're supposed to be fighting against regressive elements, and the thing is we found out that the whole feminism thing is not progressive. There's nothing progressive about feminism. There's nothing progressive about any of this.
The reason why Europe is more fucked is because dildos alone don't make a civilization fall apart. Quite honestly, in an alternate reality, if the world was just just white people, it could be as dildo as it wanted, really, and it wouldn't be that much of a threat to itself. It's
100%.
It's that in Europe, they're going full dildo, all while they're going up against a force that is taking full advantage of that, using it against them.
Right, like they have a hostile alien population coming in at the same time as they're going dildos.
Yeah, and it's like, we have third worlders and shit in America pouring in, but they're not really organized. They're just they're taking advantage of the shit that they're allowed to take advantage of. It's not nearly the same. Like Europe is definitely in a lot. It's a trouble.
Yeah, I mean, having if we had the percentage of Muslims that we have mestizos, we would be in a whole other pile of shit. Like the fact that we still have a very low Muslim population is good, although they're working to change it. There was some issue, like the UN had criticized the US because after 9/11 people coming in from Muslim countries actually were screened pretty intensively for ties to terrorism, which of course was pretext for just keeping them out, which a-okay with me, but of course liberals in the UN, they latch on to shit like that, and now we're expected to take in something like 75,000 refugees from Syria.
Oh, that's
great. Are going to be like brought in because, and Obama is of course right behind it. You know, like this is why we need to get him the fuck out. I'm sorry that I mean, he's going to be the fuck out, but we need to not have this again. Like, even you can't tell me that this type of shit would be happening if Mitt Romney had been elected. Not to like stump for Republicans, but seriously, like, there's degrees of bad, and as dildo as you think Mitt Romney was, he's not going to be importing 75,000 Muslims.
As long as as long as half the population is woman and voting, I don't know. You know, you're gonna get some more of those.
Right.
The thing, I mean, it's just honestly, we have things, and what the big thing is, we brain drained a lot of the people with agency from Europe, and we haven't had as many civil conflicts that have basically drained the smartest of our society. I mean, out in Europe, I mean, we lost some people in World War II, but to them, they lost percentages of their best and their brightest were out there killed for all these stupid reasons. And what took their place was labor and women. And that's what we're looking at. We're basically seeing peasants being taken over by we're like seeing peasant liberalism.
Yeah, and it's so ugly sight to behold.
It's terrible.
It's one thing when you got like bougie middle class people like turning up their noses and being more liberal than now. When that attitude trickles down to the lower classes.
Oh, God. Swipple down economics is funny, but swipple down politics is awful. And look at Europe. When you see low class Englanders, or with that Cockney accent, and
the Chav accent, the Chav accent, feminism. Oh my god!
It's just you honestly see some. Yeah, you see them, and you almost want to root for the Muslims because that's. I hate to say it. Sometimes it's like they.
We're not those guys.
There's never even going to be a day where they're like, oh shit, right before it really all falls apart. That's not even going to happen. They're going to be wagging, like, their corpse is going to be wagging its finger.
What's going to happen, what I guarantee is going to happen, is within our lifetime, we're going to have to go out there and kick them out. We're going to have to bail out Europe again because of Muslims.
Should we? Well, I guess we should, yeah.
I mean,
we save Europe again? Again?
Again.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. What you said about how it's never going to be, there is no immediate collapses in history. People point to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire did not collapse all of a sudden. Like, oh, one day the barbarians got through the gates and it fell apart. No, it was a slow process over a couple centuries, getting more muddy. Upper classes died off, were replaced by the upper classes of other tribal groups, you know, broke down, and more foreigners. I mean, it's how empires die. And as much as I think that people try to apply that model to the United States, I think the United States has a couple more centuries at least. I mean, it's getting muddied up, but
we're isolated. We are not I mean, the proximity to the Middle East, to Asia, it's, you know, we have distance. We have thousands of miles separating us. I mean, even Latin America, I'll be honest with you, I actually would rank Brazil, Argentina, Chile, I would rank them kind of above England, the United Kingdom. Like, I mean, I'll be completely honest.
I would. They've got huge populations of total, like, ghetto dwelling people there.
Yeah, true. But I mean, just to Brazil, me, it's like I see them moving up, whereas I look at like England and I see them moving down. Like, I mean, they kind of celebrate and they're kind of high time preference, and they're always going to be kind of like shitty. But it's kind of like I don't expect a lot of them. So I don't feel like the profound disappointment that I do when I see I see these massive Gothic cathedrals that people are basically like doing interracial marriages with, you know, Al-Shabaab in, you know, like that. To me, it's like completely different.
England's fucking shit tier. The British are shit tier. And they had an empire that basically had the world by the balls, and they just
decided to
cup the balls instead and then deep throat.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like an evil empire. It wasn't even like stomping boots on necks. It was like a mercantile empire that brought like civilization and prosperity wherever it went. And they feel bad about it now. They cry tears about it. And
yeah.
It's fucking, they wag their finger at America for it.
Yeah.
While they're getting beheaded. They're getting groomed.
They're shit tier. It's a shit tier country full of shit tier peasant folk.
Yeah. I say Al Britannia. I let them have it. Fuck it. Let them have it.
God damn it.
Yep. I'm going
to
go there.
I'll say let them have it, but I'm not ever going to say that Islam is the solution to the West. Like Islam is what we need to reinvigorate the spirit of the West.
I'm never going to go for that.
I'll say, like, if the Muslims take over Britain, I'll have a slight sense of Schadenfreude because you hoisted on your own altar of faggotry. I'm not going to...
They are such faggots lately. It's just disgusting.
Breaking off from the crown was definitely probably the best decision ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing we could get into. Just, I get the idea, like, oh, well, the United States, it was like a liberal I get it. I get the argument. And I see, like, rad trads and some people that I know, like, arguing that, like, oh, the United States was the formation of the United States was a bad historical event. It was the reasoning for breaking off from England was all, you know, mercantile interests and shitting on authority, shitting on religion, etc. And I see these arguments and I'm like, honestly, like, you know, I don't think it was a bad thing. I think, I don't think the ideology that motivated it was bad. I mean, down the road, people that are unsavory came to be in power in the United States. But I mean...
That's kind of intrinsic.
That's the fault of people like 250 years ago. I mean, what do you, you know, I really don't see it. And I mean, these were people, the interesting thing is that in the American Revolution, you know, the class of people that became the American ruling class that broke off from Britain, I mean, they were wealthier than the British ruling class at that time. I mean, they were like actually coming into their own as the ruling class of the world. There was no way it could have been stopped, even if you have some ideas about whatever dildos might be in the Declaration of Independence or whatever, whatever mistakes Thomas Jefferson might have made in his ideology or whatever. But, you know, you couldn't have stopped the American ruling class from becoming the world ruling class. I mean, you just couldn't.
No. We went way off topic, didn't we?
Yeah, wow, we really digressed. We started with a frumpy Jewish walking around Manhattan for 10 hours, and we ended up...
We said some stuff that hadn't been said yet, so...
Okay. I don't need to talk about that stupid video anymore. I wrote an article. If you don't like what I said, say something in the comments, and we can have a debate there.
There you go. And speaking of people that can't be stopped on their rise to the top, let's do Chateau Autiste.
Oh, God.
Yeah, definitely.
Here we go. Just let her rip.
Here you go.
Culture, class, weeaboos, 2D waifu, friend zones, never-ending virginity, wizardry, supreme gentleman. These things and more await you in Le Chateau Autiste. Come, join us.
Yeah, you gotta click the mic button, and I ain't about that $20 life. A lot of people see negging as being a insult, but really it's just a half compliment. It's not you being a deliberate dick to chicks. However, back in high school when I first got the concept of game, I didn't understand that. there's this picture I saw of this one girl, and she basically had this blouse on, no pants. By the way, later on, she ends up pregnant in like 2 minutes. But she had no pants on, this blouse. She took a selfie. I got a Woody, man. I'm gonna lie. I was thinking at the time, what would be a good neg? Because everyone is making these emojis. They're all 16. 16-year-olds are all beta, all of them. So what would be a nice one-liner? And I was analyzing, much to the point that was kind of pathetic. But I noticed that there was an orange juice obscured in the background, like a big, like, Starbucks cup of orange juice, or Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. And I said, you're blocking the view of that OJ. And everyone pretty much liked that shit, but looking back, that's kind of stupid. Well, she got pregnant with another motherfucker.
She was not pregnant with your seed, Ortiz?
No, she was pregnant with the seed of some other autistic beaner.
So you mentioned the other boys as beta, and you would be alpha?
I'd say that while most people on the internet would be considered omega alphas, I'm an alpha omega. I got the omega status, but I'm the king of omegas. If I'm in a room full of omegas, I'd be the first to get laid. So before, if you would have asked me, hey, are you autistic? I'm like, no. Autistic people, those guys are pussies. I'm awesome. But now, I'm trying to make that lie into a reality, man. I'm the king of... I'm autistic Maximus.
Do you think everyone else reading Hartiste is an autiste as well?
I think Hartiste is autiste. Like, I think there was one segment where he actually says, how to simulate rape with your GF.
It's valuable advice.
I was in a clique in high school, and the whole basis of that clique is that we're all Galaxy users. We're all... handsome as hell, but we're all too soft to actually do anything with girls. That was the whole click. We all got the swag, we got the latest outfits. We're too scared to seal the deal. My closest friend there became the prom king. And actually, let me tell you something about the prom. Actually, now I had my like lion mane at the time, and because of that, when I pulled up, I had this weird 1980s Steve Vai look, except my leg to torso ratio is horrible. I got like 2-inch legs and like a 5-foot like torso, so I looked kind of awkward. But when I was there, everyone got hype. After prom happens and I'm spending the whole time there depressed, having an existential crisis. My dad's outside. He's been waiting for like a couple of hours for this event to like stop. It was a weird after prom because it was in a club, but it's not a club. It's for like minors and students only, so there's no alcohol. And I was depressed. And this girl kept trying to give me a lap dance. And you know, I got this treatment 3 times from her. By the way, she works in Brooklyn right now, and she wears gloves and like a whole outfit. She's scared of getting Ebola, but she gave me a lap dance 3 times, and the whole time I kept looking at other people while I was getting it and asking, okay, what am I supposed to do, guys? I need some help right now. Like, how am I supposed to do this? Eventually I learned a third time. But this girl that drove with me to the after prom, some lesbian chick with long Rob Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme style ponytail. She wanted to stay behind. And as I left, my dad and the person we were driving with said, hey, bring my daughter back. I'm like, all right. I come back in, and the guy that owns the building's like, hey, you're a prom king, right? No, that's another guy. This other white boy. Oh, okay. Well, I thought that was kind of weird. And she was also getting like twerked on too.
Oh, such debauchery, Ortiz. Such debauchery. Thank you again.
It's just, okay, so...
It just kept going. It just went everywhere.
And then it just
once
stops.
Again, the Ortiz ends with really nothing.
One day he'll tell us a story.
That will make sense.
And it'll have an ending.
It'll have a point.
And she was getting twerked on. And then it just stops. Okay.
Thanks.
He's the man. I'm so glad he does that for us.
It sounds like slightly schizophrenic. Have you ever tried to get a straight answer of a schizophrenic before? And you like ask him how reproduction works, and then he starts talking about the intricacies of like trains or something.
I like trains.
Well, the brilliance of the Ortiz segment is that we start with an idea of a discussion topic and then just see where it goes.
Yeah.
This one, we wanted to get his thoughts on game. See kind of where that went. Funny enough, like the reading of game websites in the autistic community is really very high. I mean, the people I know that are the biggest experts on game are definitely on the spectrum.
Well, they were. I mean, they're the ones who would need it.
True.
I mean, how are you guys?
Because I mean, you know, they need a player's guide.
Yeah, if you can't pick up on body language and social signals, I suppose you need to know
code.
Like
the cheat codes.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But how are you even going to apply those codes?
You
know?
Oh,
it's like maybe it makes them feel better to have them tucked away, but then they, you know, it's still a matter of using them.
Nigging autistically.
So what were we going to discuss next?
Well, I've got a quick thingy if y'all want to indulge me. I know mainstream regular old politics isn't the most exciting subject, but we've got the midterms are Tuesday.
Yep.
And I just, you know, so being out and about or even just having the TV on, I kind of become like a part of the captive audience of the campaign, the reporting on the campaign and the advertising on the campaign. And it's just never been more clear. I don't know if it's getting worse or if I just pick up on it more as I get older. But I mean, to me, it's never been clearer that, I mean, again, this isn't news to anybody listening to this, but that just democracy, it's just a total failure. Or if you want to say democracy with universal suffrage is just a complete joke. It's vote farming. You've got the American electorate. You've got this percentage identifies as liberal. This percentage identifies as conservative. And there's that small little bit in the middle that call themselves independent or moderate or whatever they call themselves. But basically, it just comes down to, like, I don't know who those people are. Are they stupid? Because the ads that I see, they've got to be fucking... You can't be this wishy-washy that this kind of shit that gets reported and the kind of shit that they say in the ads is enough to sway you one way or another. Like, if you... Yeah. If you honestly don't know if you're going to vote Republican or Democrat, if you're one of these moderate...
You need to stay home.
You need to not be allowed or just... But I just can't imagine... I grabbed the audio from a couple ads that I saw back...
Oh, God.
These are...
This should be fun. I actually want to hear this.
Upstate New York. They're two opposing ads. One is for Nan Hayworth, who was a Tea Party congresswoman. I think she's out trying to get back in now. And one is for Sean Maloney, one's not actually for Sean Maloney. It's just a general...
No, it's one of the super PAC things?
Yeah, one of those. So
wait, I thought that was going to only benefit Republicans.
Oh, of course. Well, anytime... Well, come on. Anytime money and politics. It just means... Yeah, I know. Okay. I'll just play the ad. Just check this out.
Here's Tea Party Congresswoman Nan Hayworth.
I am proud to be a radical.
We should pay attention. Radical means Hayworth's plans to end Medicare as we know it and privatize Social Security, jeopardizing retirement. Radical means her plan to keep tax breaks for oil companies and corporations sending jobs overseas. It's an agenda that's radically wrong for the middle class. And Nan Hayworth just doesn't get it.
I think it's pretty cool to be a radical.
House Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this message.
She's got a terrible voice, but you know that I can definitely tell there were some Jews involved in writing that. Like, because they immediately picked up on, okay, there's a word, radical. It's a word that sticks out. Radical. Radical means blah. And then they said middle class. So automatically,
they threw in their myriad of complicated economic issues, and they summed each one of them up in like three words or less. And if you're not already Team D or Team R, that should just be a reminder that an election's happening. D.
Hey, right. Man, Hayworth is going to eat children. Don't vote for him.
Yeah, but I might as well have just said that. But who is that anyway? And her response, which is actually kind of funny, like the ad. These two exact ads, I found them on YouTube. They ran back to back. In a commercial break the other night. It was hysterical. No. So check this one out.
Sean Maloney is a phony baloney.
He's full of baloney.
Sean Maloney is full of baloney.
That's right. Sean Maloney is a phony baloney.
Fucking God.
Making big promises. Voting to cut Medicare and veterans' pensions.
He's a phony baloney.
Phony baloney.
Big, big phony.
And while we struggle, Maloney voted for amnesty for illegals.
Amnesty?
Amnesty, really?
And first-class airfare for Congress.
That isn't right.
Definitely. Sean Maloney is full of baloney.
Phony baloney.
God, they need more Jews.
Baloney head in Washington.
I'm Nan Hayworth, and I approve this message.
But dude, picture that.
Lost the fuck is this? But this is, oh my lord. That's everything that is everything that's fucking wrong.
Let me give you the final. Let me give you the icing on the cake. See, we're an audio medium here. This was on TV. That entire ad, she's got the word Sean Maloney dressed up like the Oscar Mayer logo.
No.
The screen is yellow, thread striped.
Send the salami to your boy in the army.
God.
It's like the same shit. Oh,
like, why did she...
She should have just called him a greasy wop.
Like, wait a second. That didn't speak to
me. He's a McWop, Sean Maloney.
Does it speak to anybody? But like, this blows my mind away, because I will sit here and I'll talk with people worth talking to, and I'll get this impression sometimes that, yeah, there's a lot of people who... aren't that fucking retarded, but like, I mean, like, there's like really fucking retarded, and then there's this medium level where it's like, you're not that retarded, and that, I usually assume that that's kind of the bulk of white America, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's really actually not. I mean, the more I actually interact with people, I can actually see shit like that being convincing.
Talk about IQ a lot. Sorry. Okay. We talk about IQ a lot. And one of the things is that, okay, so mean white IQ, mean IQ for white people is 100, right? Now, you don't actually realize how stupid somebody with a 100 IQ is. I mean, I know that's maybe not very popular.
No. They're not.
Like, they would be intolerably stupid to any of us.
Yeah.
Because supposedly it's very difficult for people to tolerate people once they're about like 15 or 20 IQ points below them. Sort of like you feel like you're eternally standing in line behind someone at the supermarket trying to clip coupons and pay with change. You know, like that's the feeling you got. Like, so yeah, like I don't know how convincing something like that would be, but I think I definitely am in a bubble where the people I interact with, because of my own filter and because I work in a job where you have to be of a certain level of intelligence to work in that job, I just don't interact with people that are, you know, mediocre intelligence.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing that really sticks out to me, the difference. Like, it's a stark difference. The thing is even if they're stupid, a stupid person knows, can detect when they're being talked down to.
Yeah.
And especially an American is very, very well versed in knowing when someone is patronizing them. And what's her face? The horrible voice woman, a Republican.
Nan
Hayward. That whole thing was completely patronizing, completely talking down to a potential voter. And the other one, I mean, both of them were treating them as idiots. I mean, both commercials treated the average voter
all of them
as an
do.
Idiot.
I think some are just more obvious than others.
And the thing is that was so blatantly just pandering to the lowest, to like something so out of touch.
Basically,
stupid.
What I'm saying is you're pandering that low. You should not shoot that low for votes. That low should not be part of the electorate.
They're only going as low as they have to go to win, really.
Right. It's just
how democracy works. It seems like in a sane world, because the masses of people are naturally, they're easily fooled and they're eager and they have a lot of passion.
Well, that's
it. It seems like a proper, you know, a proper leader is someone who directs the passion, you know, directed by
getting
the passion.
Getting into like Hitler territory.
Oh, because a wise leader would know.
I'm not even advocating any particular system. I'm just saying, you're doomed for failure in a system that's built on being directed by mobs of passion.
Morons.
And also, you know, the more vote farming that goes on, obviously, the more the right to vote spreads.
Well, yeah, this is
by trusting a mob to erect their own leaders, people just have to accept the fact that the leaders will be chosen strictly on mob principles.
Right. You just said something that I want to jump in on. If we can move on a little bit further. The next thing that happened, you said the right to vote spreading, and it's also starting with, you know, the Texas voter ID law and this stuff, is now you have the right trying to limit wherever they can. And this has led to, I was a captive audience member of in a waiting room that had MSNBC on twice last week. I didn't have time to grab the audio from it. I was watching The Ed Show, it's called. And MSNBC
is, I've never heard of that before.
Oh, it's he's god awful. MSNBC is it's a campaign. It's not news, it's a campaign. The entire thing's a campaign commercial. And apparently because of the Texas voter ID law, something Chris Christie said, you know, which governors do you want in place when it's time for the 2016 election? Do you want, he would name this Democrat, or do you want this guy? Do you want this guy or do you want this guy? And so this turns into MSNBC reporting that Chris Christie is the head of a conspiracy to get governors, Republican governors elected so that the Republican governors can help steal the election in 2016.
That almost sounds like they have strategy.
It was reported with a straight face that this was a conspiracy to steal the 2016 election.
Okay. I guess I have to keep hammering this, like I because I want us to talk about this. The thing is this is why the right, like those two commercials and the Ed Show talking about conspiracy. This is why the right wing is losing in this country, is because they know how to talk to stupids. They know how to not blatantly patronize them. They use words that stick out to these people. They make things sound smart, and while they give them bullshit and tell them they give them a Big Mac and they tell them that it's this organic thing.
It's filet mignon.
It's
grass-fed beef.
It's packaging. Their packaging is so vastly superior to everything that a right-winger does. Like,
funny,
you lose this game. This is why we're losing. Like, it's not because, they're disempowering the lower class. The lower classes want to be disempowered. Well, they're garbage. They know they're garbage. They're not going to go anywhere. But the thing is the right don't know how to deal with them. They don't know how to connect to them.
It's a thing that Limbaugh has been saying for a million years, that liberalism is easy. It's not just that the package is nice, it's that the thing in the package is bullshit.
You win the moment you walk in.
Yeah, and to unravel that piece of bullshit and show the person holding that, hey, that's bullshit, it takes so much effort. They tune you out before you even begin. So, like,
The thing is, like, look at what we have started doing at our blog, you know, the blog posting. Look at how we can, in less than 500 words, basically completely detonate.
Say nigger
something
20
that's
times?
Popular.
Sorry.
And it's that easy. It's so easy to tear apart. And it's like a race to the bottom now. And we're trying to show it. It's like, look. All you have to do is point out, or you have to amplify, or agree and amplify, or use TRS argumentation, or something like that. Quit trying to be so smart. Quit being so – play the fucking game. That's the game. We can win the game if we play the fucking game.
Right.
You have to play the game, and you have to play it dirty. That's the twist.
That's the
thing. Because a lot of conservatives try to play the game, they're too scared to – call their own shots, make their own rules. Everyone wants to try and be conservative within the frame set by liberals. If you look at, Bill O'Reilly or something, it's like he really wrestles leftist jimmies, and it's not really because he says anything particularly brilliant. It's because he has like he could be a complete fucking retard, to be fair, but he works within their
frame.
He works within their frame and is relentless. Like, he doesn't shut his fucking mouth.
Right.
No.
You know, but he doesn't do anything good. He's not doing us any favors. No one wants to start calling their own shots. And I think, like, an example that I really like is that I've been seeing a lot more of is right wingers deciding to finally just bite bullets, you know. an example would just be being accused of racism and just being okay, and
that's the strategy everybody should
be using. Yes, I'm racist, and what?
Yeah, so tell me why it's wrong. And they're not prepared for that, and eventually they're going to have to be, because hopefully that's going to get popular and be the answer, but who knows.
We live in a patriarchy. Yes, and it's good.
Yes,
it's rather good. Than, you know,
no, there isn't.
We're seeing
women also rape sometimes.
Yeah, that's the worst shit.
Oh God.
Yeah, playing that's like the MRA, what the MRAs do with feminism, and that's what I mean. People on the right think that that's a big a big twist now. And actually, this sort of connects even back to what I was talking about with that video of the woman getting harassed, is that the response is men also get harassed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh. No, that's not, there's nothing there. I mean, you're still accepting the entire premise there. And yeah. I mean, and when I was listening to those two ads, you know, I noticed at first I thought the Democrat one was completely fucking stupid until I heard the Republican one. And then I was like,
it was a hard decision which one to play for you first because of that. I was like, but anyway,
It's good. It's good to play the Democrat one first because that show that it definitely, because I was like, what kind of idiot's going to buy into this bullshit? And then the next one came on. And I was like, holy fuck. I mean, that guy had like a nice soft voice. He had like a nice, you know, Jew voice going on there. And it was very neuro-linguistic programming sort of thing. And right. And very Edward Bernays, like how you're supposed to do these things. And then the Republican one is like, and I was like, oh my God, no, no. And it's totally, it totally lets them keep playing that game. Which is funny because there's that whole thing that came out with Republicans are actually higher IQ than there's going to be an article on the blog. Sean Last did an article on it, and we can talk about it, but I don't think any of us have actually studied up on it enough. But there was definitely some social research that came out that shows that Republicans on a consistent basis are higher IQ than Democrats.
Now you have a mystery rant all loaded up for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing I wanted to point out was that we talked about this Ebola nurse bitch how she basically, and I mean, Bulbasaur wrote an article that I think summed up, you know, my feelings about her, which is that, like, yeah, you know, she's being a complete narcissistic bitch for basically nothing but her own personal aggrandizement. The rule that anybody coming back from, you know, an Ebola stricken zone has to be isolated for 3 weeks is hardly onerous, and it makes complete sense. It's completely rational, and I would say it's even completely science-based. But so not only did she not, she got out of the one in New Jersey. She got out under the big, fat, donut-stained, oppressive thumb of Chris Christie and went up to her house in Maine. And then the Maine governor was like, yeah, well, you know, we're asking you to now for the 17 remaining days. We're asking you to stay in your house.
We
right?
need you to stay in your house over there, if you don't mind.
Maine.
So, yeah, I mean, if she left the house, I don't know that she would actually encounter another person, but whatever.
Stephen King.
Yeah, I hope she gets that fucker Ebola.
Yeah, it would be great if she actually went out of her house, kidnapped Stephen King, and then broke his feet with a typewriter.
I hate this. Oh.
But so she doesn't want to comply with this. So she's like, she announces that she's not going to comply. The Maine governor says, like, all right, we got to bring it to court. He's got to get it. He can't just, you know, he voluntarily limited his own authority. He probably could have, without doing this, just ordered the state police to keep her in her house by force. He probably could have done that. He chose not to do it.
That's executive. That's basic executive authority right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a Republican. That's a Republican.
Well, right. It's a Maine Republican. Right.
So he goes to the court and he's like, I need to get a court order for whatever reason. Maybe because I need political cover. Maybe because I actually care about principles of limited government.
Republican.
So, which I probably the latter. I would honestly guess it was probably the latter. So
yeah,
he goes to the court and the judge says, no, I'm not going to issue an order enforcing this. There's no reason. It's not science based, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, so the judge just completely gives in to feminine fucking hysteric ranting selfishness. And it's just like, I was just like, what the fuck? And what I wanted to say about it was, when I was an ANCAP and a voluntarist, and this is for anybody in our fan base, I know a lot of you, there's a lot of them out there that are secret ANCAPs that are like, you know, furtively listening to us and liking it, but afraid to tell their friends. This is not the model of the state that ANCAPs and voluntarists give you, right? This is their prediction would be, oh no, the state, because it's just the arbitrary use of force to enforce, like, you know, arbitrary rules of wealth extraction and, like, you know, because of what their narrative is, they would have predicted the judge would have closed ranks and because of the nature of the judge's role in their system, he would have said no, because someone else in the state ordered her to stay home. I have to keep, I have to maintain that power of the state, that
I must
unilateral
maintain that boot on your face.
Yeah, that unilateral monopoly on violence has to be maintained. So we will force you to stay in your home, even though it's just arbitrary. But that's not what happened. So this is a very teachable, I think it's a teachable moment, so-called, for ANCAPs. Like, why didn't that happen? And the reason is because your model of the state isn't how things run. In fact, it's not how things run. What actually controls it is fucking women screaming their heads off. They have more power than your fucking, your model of this arbitrary wealth extraction mechanism.
And it's
I'll tell you, there is one thing. Like, I mean, we've noticed this with Molyneux. I mean, we're noticing this with Chris Cantwell. I think that's his name. Dickhead, a turtle.
That guy's.
I don't even. If you're cheering on fucking mass murderers because I don't know. Fucking eat shit. Eat your own shit. Shit on your face and swallow.
This is very interesting. We're talking about feminism and about how that this new upswing, this new kind of coup of power, that now women have this power and they're now exercising it. We're seeing this now in ANCAP circles, this kind of anti-feminist, well, it kind of goes back into the MRA stuff as well, the MGTOWs. They're all very ANCAP-y, and they hate women, and they're autistic. I mean, it's a very interesting, like, overlap.
Molyneux's actually, I don't know. I don't know what you were going to say, but I'm going to say
he's been coming out kind of anti-woman, kind of like that.
I know. I mean,
anti-woman and race realist. It'll be funny to see where he goes if he decides to keep going in that direction.
No, I mean, I was going to say, actually, I think Molyneux's stuff is a lot better than when I listened to Molyneux because I was an ANCAP. His recent things, he was always anti-feminist, and he even said some, back in the, way back in the day, he said, like, some very sort of subversive things when he wasn't even very popular. Like, he even said, like, the Nazis were popular because Jews started communism and shit like that. Like, things you're just not supposed to say.
He was good on Trayvon.
So, yeah, I mean, Molyneux has, I think he thinks a lot of things that he doesn't say because of his fucking audience. But he did a thing on immigration where you would think, because the voluntarist ANCAP position on immigration is just open borders, but that wasn't his position. He actually took a much more intelligent position than that. So
good for him.
He's been getting better. I don't actually hate Molyneux.
I still get upset with the fucking UPB shit. The state is a social construct kind of crap. Like, it's just men with guns using force.
Yeah, that's actually what I was trying to say. It's not just men with guns. Men with guns using force submitting to hysterical vaginas.
Yeah.
It's no longer a boot on the face. It's now a dildo in your ass. Like, that's that's where we're going. This is the brave new world. It's smelly, and it's shrill, and it's annoying.
It's got three speeds.
Oh. God.
The other one quick thing about the Casey Hickox thing the reason that what she did is so destructive, in my opinion, is not
precedent.
Right. Bulbasaur hit on this in his article. It's not because she's going to spread Ebola around, because she probably won't. I mean, there is, I'm not going to, I wish that the just world fallacy was true and people that did bad things got what was coming to them and she would contract Ebola and die in horrible pain, but that's not going to happen. She's probably going to be fine. But the issue is that in a situation where there is an emergency, where there is people coming back, there are people that need to be quarantined, people that need to be just put into groups and put, if this happens, if this needs to happen, we can't have the precedent be that the state doesn't have the authority to do it because people's feelings. Because,
right.
She broke a system that needs to be in place, essentially.
Yep.
Right.
So. And it's going to be very, very difficult if we get something like Marburg that's airborne and is even more deadly. I mean, if we get like a new form of Spanish flu, or if something even worse, Ebola AIDS, AIDS-Bola, something like that. If that comes around,
Miley Cyrus.
We don't have the precedent.
I mean, imagine like polio was still a threat, right? I mean, polio used to actually take out people in the United States,
right?
Before we got a vaccination for it, thanks to a Jew. but yeah, I mean, imagine that was still a threat, right? And then you have this precedent set. Well, it hurts my feelings to have to stay home.
It's interesting, the liberals and the libertarians, they're usually very good in screaming and caterwauling about precedent, like Hobby Lobby and Citizens United set these awful, dark, dire precedents of corporate personhood, and they were just going to, you know, Walmart's going to become a church, and we're all going to be forced to worship there or go to FEMA camps. And, of course, this lady, Hickox, whatever her name is, if they were allowed to confine her to her home for the 21 days, that meant FEMA camps. Yeah. Yet they can't into her breaking the system, as you just said, is now the precedent. It's like, okay, now the government can't confine anyone. I mean,
I'd love to hear Alex Jones' reaction to this, because I'm sure I don't pay attention to him, but I know his general line, and I'm sure that he was talking about Ebola is made up by the government to put us in FEMA camps, right? Like, I'm quite sure that was his line. And now
it's
like,
a bio. They're watching your masturbate.
Like, there's no FEMA. Not only are there no FEMA camps, one fucking shrill, you know, middle class woman can't be told to stay home for a week.
Yeah.
So. You know what I mean?
Like, that's, well, why did the government buy 6 billion bullets?
Hey, who's that guy? Yeah, why would the government buy?
Can we get, can you do an Alex Jones real quick talking about FEMA camps and Ebola?
Folks, the government bought 1.6 billion bullets. Tell me what the hell that's about. If you don't think they're going to put us in FEMA camps and they got plastic coffins.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Well, do you have more? I was going to say we should hand the show over to Meraki.
I've said my piece. It's time for Meraki to get not shut down.
Are you ready for me to play the recording of you?
Is your body ready, Meraki?
My body's always ready. Find the new world order, goddammit.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Here's the Merchant Minute.
All the other yids with the cut-up dicks, you'd better run faster than my oven. This is the Merchant Minute. Either someone in the Obama administration made the mistake of giving an honest opinion of Benjamin Netanyahu to a Jewish journalist, or Jeffrey Goldberg is telling lies to the Goyim.
Hey, that's
in
my
any
bit.
Case, this past Tuesday, Jeffrey Goldberg reported that an unidentified White House official called Netanyahu a chicken shit, because the man would rather get the Ameriburger clap fats to fight his war with Iran, and the only time he'll actually use force himself is when there are some Arab kids playing on a beach, or someone is firing a limp-dicked bottle rocket into Tel Aviv. Netanyahu wasted no time immediately capitalizing on the situation and taking part in the 3,500-year-old Jewish tradition of whining about being an oppressed victim. Oh, woe is me, the Goyim called me a mean word. They're just mad at me for defending Israel. It's like a verbal Shoah. Evidently, Israeli voters are actually falling for this shit, and I'm sure the next time I go to a Republican meeting, they'll be sucking Jew dicks twice as hard, like a mole on crack.
We've got to stand with Israel, Meraki.
We're gonna need a bigger oven if you guys want to be standing up with them. You'd better be praying real hard to whatever pre-Christian European pagan god you're LARPing as a believer in this month, that this bullshit propaganda campaign doesn't serve its intended purpose and disrupt a nuclear deal with Iran. This past Wednesday, Anita Sarkeesian upgraded from talking to fat harpies at TEDx conferences and bitching about Super Mario to being on the fucking Colbert Report. And considering that TED conferences with an X after the TED are usually about dumb white people conspiracy theories like mercury, cancer, autism, chemtrails, and the vaccines, and have about as much legitimacy as a newborn in Harlem, this is quite the upgrade. Now, Sarkeesian is not Jewish, but her feminist message definitely is, and the people running the network on which she appeared have noses big enough to house the large hard-on collider. Sarkeesian is actually Armenian, which is like the poor man's Hebe. They've got the big hook noses, they've got their own Shoah and everything, but their Shoah was committed by brown people, so we don't really worry about that. And you won't believe what happened when frumpy Jewess extraordinaire Shoshana Roberts walked around a city of 8 million people for hours on end to show everyone how oppressed she was, so they'd all donate shekels to her. That's right. Only blacks and Hispanics harassed her. The Jews should expect these kinds of narrative collisions by now. If I didn't believe almost all bad behavior in non-Asian minorities was caused by shitty genes, I'd probably blame the kike music producers who signed gangsta rappers to their record labels. I'd pretend that if Turned Down for What were a song about working hard for an honest living and then coming home to a loving wife, that's wife, not bitch or hoe, that people would still be mud-dicking to this song in the club. Yeah, sure. Culture is super important, bro. I don't know about you guys, but I like to imagine Turned Down for What is a song about the ovens. For the right stuff, Doc Biz, I'm Rocky, and this has been the
Merchant Minute. Oh, shit. Classic as always. All right, so that's this week's Daily Showa. I forgot. I wanted to use this first.
Right! Enough! Stop it!
If somebody goes on for too long,
I know. So that's our struggle session for this week. Thank you so much, Meraki, for coming on. And
adios.
I guess thank you, Shlomo, for interrupting and ruining it.
And for everybody that donated, thank you. And yes, hope you're doing well.
Remember to donate more than $1.
Looking forward to your donations.
A fucking dollar.
Are you kidding?
How am I supposed to feed Sophia on this?
This is insufficient rent seeking.
One more thing. Let me get in one more. Let's see. We've got a thank you to the death panel. And thank you, of course, to the Autiste and to Holly Himmler making her debut on the Shitload Report. We'll see you next week.
I'm going to have to work on that sexiness.
She's all about that. Treble, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
What about that alto?
Ooh, yep. Alto. An aristocrat. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win, unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.
Mi general, adiós. Se pierde lontananza el sol. Y con el último redoble del tambor. Se escucha un eco de su voz. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Quiero cerrar filas otra vez en ese ejército que invicto comandó y que mil glorias a la patria le entregó.
Adiós,
mi general,
adiós.
La página que hoy día se cerró a la historia como ráfagas de sol justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar. General, adiós. El grito que en Chorrillos se escuchó.
¡Viva Baquedano del Senor!
Y que del pecho del soldado se escapó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Solo soy un ciudadano más. Que deudor de su grandeza y sencillez, hoy vino a despedirlo Don Manuel.
Adiós,
mi general,
adiós.
La página que hoy día se fue.
la historia como ráfagas de sol justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han